quit. The reminder of Jesus' journey to the cross becomes instructive to us. In what may have looked like a stunning defeat to the uninformed observer, brought about a standing ovation in the bleachers of heaven, and sets before us the way to mount the victory podium for those who truly believe. And so with this in mind, the Apostle to the Hebrews lays down this challenge found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, any of you who have done any reading or study in the field of philosophy will be familiar with the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, Nietzsche is probably best known for his statement that God is dead. However, there is another quote that Nietzsche made in his book, Beyond Good and Evil, that I find instructive to us in our spiritual journeys. He wrote, "The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be long obedience in the same direction. There thereby results and has always resulted in the long run something which has made life worth living." Nietzsche has concluded that signing on for the long haul in a chosen discipline is what will bring lasting satisfaction in life. This holds true, I believe, in our pursuit of godliness. And so while not embracing Nietzsche's views about Christianity and morality, I would point to his conclusion to call us to a long obedience in the same direction. Today we will examine what it takes to be people who truly believe and show our belief with an enduring faith in God. In giving a summary of his life, the Apostle Paul wrote to his faithful companion Timothy, "I have done my best in the race. I have run the full distance, and I have kept the faith." Paul describes to us here that faith is a key factor in going the full distance in life. Now, what I've discovered about faith is that it is fairly easy to live by faith when all is going well, when our jobs are secure, when the kids aren't giving us a hassle, when our health is good, and when there's money left over in the bank at the end of the month. Where living by faith becomes a challenge is when we suffer from disappointments, when there is no job, when a child goes the way of a prodigal, when the doctor calls with an unfavorable prognosis, or when the bills keep coming and the bank account is empty. Then living by faith isn't quite so easy. However, faith that carries us the full distance in life and brings us into the fullness of God's purposes will only mature in adversity. That's the message the Apostle James wants his readers to receive when he writes these words in James 1, verses 2 to 4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Bob and Monica are friends that we made while we were living in Poland. They may be described as spiritual sojourners in search of a faith that overcomes their skepticism. The day that their new car was stolen, I wondered how they would respond. Now, I may have told some of you this before, but car theft in Poland is a real problem, or was a real problem when we were living there. I heard, although I never had it confirmed, that a travel agency in Poland decided to take advantage of this issue by running ads in German newspapers that read, "Come to Poland, your car is likely already here." And so the day that their car was stolen, I received an email from Bob telling me that Monica had read these words of Jesus in her Bible reading that morning. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Bob concluded his email to me with the statement, "Go figure." Well, I was a little concerned about what he might have in mind through that statement, and so I wrote back to him, "Go figure what?" His reply relieved a lot of my concern. He had concluded that God was so interested in what was going on in their lives that he had arranged Monica's reading that morning to help them keep life in perspective. He believed that God wanted to teach them a lesson on where to place their priorities. He was learning an important lesson in faith. What is the purpose of adversity in our lives? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, James tells us we face trials of many kinds so that we will learn to persevere in faith. Faith allows us to look the deepest, darkest difficulty in the face and discover that God is there. Why is this so? What is it about faith that enables us to turn our trials into triumphs? Well, let's look at what faith is. Faith is described this way in the Bible. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. So what does this mean? Well, faith in God presses us beyond the touchable and knowable to embrace a reality that surpasses the materialism of this world. There is one thing that is certain about a material world. Everything goes the way of decline and deterioration. Buildings deteriorate, cars deteriorate or get stolen, bodies deteriorate, life in general goes downhill. No matter how much we hope things will be different, it is the nature of things to degenerate. So if faith is only linked to that which is touchable and reasonable, it will ultimately lead to dismay. Faith, by its very nature, contains the idea of mystery. So does this mean that faith is totally irrational? No, not at all. But for faith to lead us into a life-change encounter with God, there must be a willingness to accept the unseen and the inexplicable. There must come a point when we step out of the questioning and into the mystery. That's why the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian Christians, "We live by faith, not by what we see." Why is it important for us to understand the unseen nature of faith? Because it will keep us from focusing on the hard, cold realities when we are staring trouble in the face. It will prevent us from trying to figure out what is going on, from getting hung up on asking why, and lead us to look for how God wants to show up in our lives in His strength and in His power. It will enable us to acknowledge our limited resources and look to God for His abundant supply. A while back, I was reading in my personal time in the book of Isaiah, where the prophet warned the leaders of Israel not to look to Egypt for help against their enemies or to put their trust in the multitude of Egyptian chariots. The question that is always before us in our times of trouble is, where will we choose to place our trust? Some trust in chariots, those vehicles of self-sufficiency and pride. Others trust in God, who, although unseen, has come down out of the stands to walk with us in our pain to the finish line. Erwin McManus writes, "Faith gives us the strength and confidence to see every challenge and crisis through to the end. Faith is a confidence in God that results in faithfulness. That faithfulness gives us power to persevere. In the midst of our perseverance, we find the wisdom of God to help us understand and see our way through. When Jesus calls us to be faithful and even to endure hard things, we are blessed when we do not fall away from Him, but continue to follow closely at His side." So where do you place your faith? Biblical faith is described as the confident assurance that God is able and willing to do all that we hoped He would do for us. But knowing what faith is does not help unless there is opportunity to practice what we believe. The way our faith is developed is by facing difficulties that require us to trust God. This is where James instructs us so well. Look at what he says about faith that is fully developed. In order for faith to reach a level of maturity in our lives, it must be tested. And so James insists on this when he writes in verse 3 of chapter 1, "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Faith that is mature tells us to expect difficulties. Notice how James writes about the difficulties we face in life. In verse 2, my brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. Notice James doesn't say, if you have many kinds of troubles. He says, when. Trouble is to be anticipated. The book of Job tells us, people are born for trouble as predictably as sparks fly upward from a fire. There are three common causes of trouble that I would like to suggest to us this morning. The first cause is circumstances. I mean, circumstances are those everyday occurrences that happen to our lives over which we have little control. A traffic tie-up along the QEW means that you're going to be late for an appointment. A freak snowstorm happens the day after you remove your snow tires. Cost-cutting measures at your place of employment that threaten you with the prospect of being out of work. Events that transpire in our lives every day through no fault of your own that leave us troubled. Another cause for trouble in this world comes from our decision to follow Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He then links his trouble that his followers will have to their association with him. Servants are not greater than their master, Jesus told his disciples. So if people mistreat me, they will mistreat you. When we become followers of Jesus, we become targets for those who reject God's ways. It just goes with the territory. A third way that trouble comes into our lives is by our own invitation. We bring trouble upon ourselves by carelessness. Whenever we ignore God's ways, when we compromise our conscience, when we choose to disobey Jesus' teachings, we can expect to have trouble. Sin has its consequences, and they're not good. So when trouble comes your way, and it will, consider the possible cause. If it is a result of circumstances, remember that nothing ever touches your life that has not first passed through the loving hands of an all-knowing God. God never wastes our circumstances, but in them gives us the opportunity to learn to trust him. If trouble comes in the form of mistreatment for following Jesus, take heart. You must be doing something right. Don't give up on your faith, but be encouraged to press on with greater faith, knowing that Jesus suffered persecution for righteousness' sake and overcame it. He gives us the assurance that in his strength, you too can overcome. Then, if trouble in your life is the result of careless behavior that has led to sin, confess your sin. Receive God's forgiveness and move ahead with the promise of a clean heart and clear conscience. Well, James continues in his instruction on persevering in faith by telling us that a fully developed faith endures patiently. He makes this observation in verse 3 again, because you know that these troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience. Patience is definitely not one of my virtues, and I think God knows this and so continues to bring things into my life that test my patience. A while ago, I was standing in line at the security checkout at Pearson Airport, when suddenly the line I was in ground to a halt. Adjacent lines seemed to be moving with ease. And so the guy standing in front of me turned and remarked, "Looks like we were sent to the wrong line." "That's the story of my life," I responded. So when God allows things into my life to try my patience, is he being mean? Not at all. Patience is a virtue, and God, who always has my best interests at heart, wants me to learn to live with the patient understanding of his absolute trustworthiness. Why? Because impatience leads to all kinds of inappropriate behavior and stress. It's just not good for you. But I only really learn this when troubles come that test my patience, that present me with the challenge of whether or not I will choose to trust God and patiently endure. Troubles become the testing ground for a faith that patiently endures. While in the midst of the testing of our faith, James tells us of a wonderful provision in verse 5. But if any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God, who will give it to you, because God gives generously and graciously to all. Those with fully developed faith have learned the secret of praying to God for wisdom. Faith that is mature embraces wisdom. So why does James ask us, or instruct us, to ask for wisdom when going through trials? Why not grace, or strength, or perseverance or patience. Because we need wisdom so that we will not miss the opportunities that God is giving us to mature in our understanding of His love for us. Some time ago, I read of a young pastor who was faced with an overwhelming situation. His wife was suffering from a terminal illness, and all indications were that she would not last long. He had an infant son, the regular pressures of ministry, and now the added stress of a dying wife. When asked how he could possibly cope with the imminent loss of his wife, he responded, "I consider myself a warehouseman, not a warehouse. I only handle a burden long enough to unload it in the warehouse. God is the warehouse. I am the warehouseman. I simply wheel it to God and leave it there." I have never forgotten that profound expression of faith. Such wisdom does not come from reading books or hanging out with would-be comforters. It can only come from intimate communion with God, where His wisdom is requested and His understanding is sought. But there's an important set of instructions connected with asking for wisdom that James gives us that we must not ignore. When we ask God for wisdom, we must not doubt that He will give it to us. Fully developed faith excludes doubt. And so James writes in verse 6 of chapter 1, "But when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and blown by the wind." It is important to remember the focus of the prayer that James is addressing here. He is not instructing us to pray for the removal of the trouble. Rather, he is stating that we should pray for God to give us wisdom to know how to respond in faith, boosting endurance in the midst of trouble. The idea that God does not intend for His children to experience pain and suffering and therefore to encounter trouble signals a lack of faith does not accurately represent the teaching of Scripture. The faith that James is addressing here is not faith in the ability of God to deliver us from our difficulties.